And welcome to Philadelphia Focus. I'm Laura Lewis, and with us today we have Dr. David Paul. He's a pediatrician and neonatologist, and he is chair of the Department of Pediatrics for Christiana Care. And they have just opened a brand new facility, the Center for Women's and Children's Health. And that's what we're really going to talk about today, aren't we?
Yeah, good morning. Thank you for having me and looking forward to talking about the new center.
And it is a brand new center. How long has that been in the making?
It's been in the making for at least 5 years. It's been open since late April 2020, but it took quite a long time to plan it, to discuss it, to make sure we had it right. So I'd say the origins were about 5 years ago. And it's important to know that the planning process takes a long time because we have to look nationally about what's being done, look at the literature. And we did, as we were planning it, get quite a large number of staff involved and parents involved. So it takes a lot of planning time. It's really goes way beyond the architecture and the structure. It's really the processes and the function that you have to plan about and really think about. We tried to think 25 years into the future when we were building this. How's the building going to look 25 years from when we started the planning, 20 years from opening? So it's a big and important process.
And if you're thinking it's going to last for 25 years, obviously you're thinking ahead for what medical care and what women's health and childbirth and what neonatology is going to look like for the coming years.
Yeah, exactly. And that was a challenge. And we say 25 years, the building will be here longer than 25 years, but that was the timeline that we set when we were building it. And we tried to think of the virtual options that will be available, the technology that we'll need, the where care is going in the next decade to two decades. And I think as of 2020, we hit the mark. So let's talk in another 20 years and we'll look back and see how we did.
Yeah, I don't know if you said the T word, tele, just now, or if I was thinking ahead myself here. When this was envisioned, did you foresee a time like what we are now emerging from, this where we are quarantined with self-distancing and now suddenly telemedicine is and telehealth is the buzzword?
Well, I think we all knew that telehealth was coming down the pike and coming strong. I don't think we all imagined that it would be this rapid and that there would be a pandemic that would be this transformative for the need for telehealth. But it's something that we've been working on for a long period of time. And so the building itself, the Center for Women and Children's Health, is a building. And it's to care for mothers and it's to care for babies and it's to care for those acute care needs. And so the telehealth aspect that we're working on here, mostly at Christiana, is for in our ambulatory space and for consultative care and those type of things. But there still is a big technology component to our new hospital and to our new building. There are cameras in every neonatal intensive care unit room, so families, when they're home, can see their baby from home or from another room. And they have a unique access code for their baby so they can view the baby. There is going to be the capability for electronic signs outside of every room, and this hasn't been stood up yet with the building, but it will be in the near future, so that if a doctor and nurse walks into the room, it'll say Dr. Paul is in the room or Nurse Jones is in the room and identify that for the patient. And there'll be an electronic sign outside that indicates that this patient may be not eating or on a special diet and those type of things. So there's a big technology component to the new building.
People have been giving birth. I mean, women have been giving birth since time, since the beginning, since the very beginning. And Christiana Care, you do more births each year, don't you, than any other hospital in the region. I mean, thousands and thousands every year. So why a new center? What prompted the idea that you needed a new facility?
Right. We do over 6,000 births a year. And as you point out, we have the highest birth volume in the region, certainly higher than any hospital in the Philadelphia area and between Philadelphia and Baltimore. And we've always been regional and national leaders in maternal child health. And despite that, we're looking towards the future. We don't want to rely on our past successes. We want to say, how are we going to provide the best care possible for the future? And really, the need for the building was driven by the desire to build a new neonatal intensive care unit. So our old neonatal intensive care unit was what we call a pod design. There were three babies and accompanying three families in a very small space. And if we would build that type of NICU today, neonatal intensive care unit, it really wouldn't be up to code, to give you an example. That NICU wasn't built that long ago. It was built in 1997, and it was kind of the state-of-the-art NICU in 1997. People came from all over the country to see our design, but it quickly became outdated, and it wasn't enough space. And what we really wanted, instead of three babies being in three families, being in one small pod, we wanted every baby to have their own room. And most of the NICUs that are designed and have been designed throughout the country now have this single family room design where a baby is cared for in a room, much like an older pediatric patient or an adult would be cared for in their own room. And that takes a pretty big footprint to build that space. And while we were building the NICU, while we were building what is now 76 rooms for neonatal intensive care unit, at the same time, as we were looking at it, it became apparent that we should just build more postpartum rooms and labor and delivery rooms at the same time. And that was a much better approach to build the building all at once than build it in steps, build a NICU, and then build on top of it. And so it became a big project, but a great project.
Now, let's talk a little bit about how many births actually require NICU services. I know that Delaware does have a lot of high-risk babies. It has a lot of issues in maternal health. Is that part of the prompt for the need for such a vast center?
Well, it's important to know that we're a regional referral center. So we get transfers of high-risk mothers and high-risk babies from throughout the state and throughout the region. And so there probably are a disproportionate number of high-risk births here. But that's by design. And so that if a mother is threatening to deliver a very preterm baby from downstate, she'll be transferred here to deliver the baby. If there's a baby who's noted to have a birth defect before birth by an ultrasound, she'll come here to deliver. So we have about 1,100 babies in our neonatal intensive care unit a year out of the 600 births. And that is a high number. But that's based on the design of the type of patients we see. And we actually do everything we can to keep babies out of the neonatal intensive care unit. Now, there are certain types of babies who, without a doubt, will need a NICU. If a baby's born extremely prematurely, that baby has to come to the NICU. There are many babies who are born at what we consider full term or term, and those babies still need neonatal intensive care services if they're breathing quickly or if their blood sugar is low or those type of things. And whenever possible, if we can care for those babies outside of the NICU, we do, but there's just no way getting around it. Some babies need those services.
When do you start seeing your patients? When do mothers first come to the center?
Well, that can be really varied. Sometimes there's a high-risk pregnancy that's noted very early in the pregnancy, and they may come and see our maternal fetal medicine doctors and get ultrasounds, and we may know very early on that that baby will need, for example, neonatal intensive care. On the other end of the spectrum, there are many, many very healthy pregnancies without a problem, where a mother may be seen in a community office with their obstetrician, and things are going great, and they may just come into the center at the day of delivery or the day before delivery and go to our postpartum floor. And so if their entry into the center is at the time of birth or shortly before birth.
Now, it's actually called the Center for Women's and Children's Health. And we talked about when women are going to come. How long do you stay with a child after birth?
That varies by pregnancy. And so most pregnancies, the baby will go home in 24 or 48 hours, or if mother has a C-section, it may be 3 days or 4 days. And what we're finding now is most mothers and babies want to go home as soon as possible. some of our very preterm babies may be here for 3 or 4 months before they're ready to go home. And that's one of the needs to have a really sophisticated and state-of-the-art neonatal intensive care unit. It's a long haul for those families. And it's a very stressful time. If you can imagine having a family member, let alone a baby, who's in the hospital for 3 or 4 months, we want that time to be as comfortable as possible and decrease the stress as much as possible during that long stay.
If you are just joining us, this is Philadelphia Focus. I'm Laura Lewis, and today we are talking to Dr. David Paul. He is a pediatrician and neonatologist, and he is chair of the Department of Pediatrics for Christiana Care and for the Center for Women's and Children's Health, a brand new facility that they were able to open, COVID notwithstanding. It opened on schedule this past month in April. Oh, goodness, that was almost 2 months ago now, wasn't it? Oh, time is starting to fly. Can you believe that? If you would like more information, always go to ChristianaCare.org. That's ChristianaCare.org. And I just alluded to COVID and isolation and the last few months. And I know that a lot of physicians and a lot of hospitals have been worried that people were putting off care for fear of going to the hospital for fear of the virus. Are you seeing this with expectant mothers as well? Have you had to buck that?
Well, that's something you can't really put off when nature calls. So at the birth, we're still delivering about 500 babies every month. And some of the care is different. And clearly, we've transformed some of our prenatal care to do as much virtual as possible. And some of those visits we're doing virtually, but the birth of a baby is something that still happens predominantly in the hospital. We still think by far the safest place to deliver a baby is in the hospital. And we have an incredible track record of keeping mothers and babies safe through the COVID pandemic. We have processes in place, and I can't say anytime you go into public, there's a risk of getting the virus. I think we all know that. The risk is extraordinarily small from coming into the hospital, and we are well prepared for it. We know what to do with mothers. We know what to do with babies if there's any exposure to COVID. And that's something we've been through. We're really confident about that. And patients should be too. It's just incredibly safe to come in and deliver in the hospital. And look, if you're going to deliver a baby, unless you're going to be alone in a room at home, you're going to be exposed to some people, and there's some minimal risk anywhere, but it's a very, very small risk to come into the hospital.
I think I spoke of trends earlier, and that we're almost coming back around to oh, I want a homey birth. I want to have be surrounded by family. I want to be in a comfortable area, and doulas. Obviously, I do not have kids, but the idea of doulas and midwives is coming back again. Is this something that you address?
Sure. We have many, many midwives on staff here. So many patients choose to deliver with a midwife in the hospital. And that's part of the routine care we have here. We do have doulas. That's something that patients contract with privately. And due to some visitation limitations with COVID, we have to work carefully and to get those doulas in. And we can't exceed certain number of visitors. But we welcome doulas. We welcome midwives. There's lots of different ways to give birth. And we recognize that as well. I think one of the important things about the new center is there's just a lot more space. And there's a lot more space in labor and delivery. There's a lot more space in what we call our postpartum units. There's bathrooms in each room, and that includes the neonatal intensive care unit. I think it's really important that we talk about that neonatal intensive care unit. Every part of the building is exceptional. Every part is great. Every part of that building is aimed towards getting families involved in the care, and there's just more space to social distance. That's for the staff, and that's for families as well. But those single family room neonatal intensive care unit allow mother and baby to stay together throughout the whole stay. in our old neonatal intensive care units and most neonatal intensive care units throughout the country, there's some separation of mothers and babies. So there's two really unique aspects to our new neonatal intensive care unit. One is the ability to do something called couplet care. And what couplet care is caring for mothers and babies in the same room, really, in the same space right after birth. So if a mother gives birth and the baby needs the neonatal intensive care unit, those babies can be cared for in what we have are these couplet suites, and meaning in the same room and on the same floor. And traditionally, in almost every hospital throughout the country, if a baby is in the neonatal intensive care unit, mother is in a room in a different floor in a different space, and there's a separation of mother and baby. And that's really stressful for mothers. It's really stressful for families. Imagine a mother after a C-section having to go up and down 2 to 3 floors to breastfeed 8 to 12 times a day. That is a real hardship, and that is really stressful. And now, starting July 1st in our new center, that mom will be in the room with the baby, see the baby at all times, won't have to get up to breastfeed. And that's something we think is really going to reduce the stress and the burden for those families. After the mother goes home and after the family goes home and after mother is no longer a patient, then every baby again is in their own room with a bathroom, with space for family, for mother to father to sleep overnight. There's other family space outside of the NICU. We have a 2-story Ronald McDonald room for families. There's laundry facilities. There's an outdoor space where families can go to just get away if they really need to leave the NICU or any other space in our building. It's really a beautiful, what we call healing garden, recognizing that some babies and some mothers are here for a long period of time and just need to get outside of the walls of the.
We always talk about the bonding between the mother and baby, but there is dad and siblings as well that need to see baby.
Absolutely. Yeah. And we do our best to get families involved. And dads can stay in the neonatal intensive care unit. Due to COVID right now, we do limit visitors to one at a time. Dad and mom can trade off. And that's unfortunately what we're seeing throughout the country is some limit to visitation due to COVID. And certainly it's not something we want to do. It's something we have to do. And hopefully we'll be able to lift that in the near future. But I think that's guided by the epidemiology and what's going on in the community. Unfortunately, at this time, siblings can't visit. When this pandemic is over, siblings will be welcome to visit. That's part of the reason we have those cameras, so siblings can see their babies at home. And we recognize that that's a hardship for families. We recognize that bonding after birth is an incredibly important time and has lifelong effects for that baby and that family. And we want to get back to that as soon as it's feasible.
Christiana Care, of course, is, well known for its research projects as well. I've had one of your geneticists in to discuss the cancer treatments that go on there. Will this be a teaching facility? Is it going to have research and studies going on?
Absolutely. We are a teaching hospital. We have trainees, residents, fellows, which are higher level trainees. We do a lot of clinical research at Christiana, and that's one of the reasons we are leaders and regional leaders and national leaders in maternal child health, is because of that research. And then I'm going to say notoriety it brings, but people know us for that. Some of the innovations that brings. And before we do any research on with families, with babies, that is thoroughly discussed, the risks and the benefits. And research is only done with the permission from families. But it's something that we do. And it's an important part of our environment here. It's a learning environment. It allows us to constantly learn from every patient and to constantly innovate our care.
Let's imagine a COVID-free world, and let's project to when the building is fully operational the way that you dreamed it would be. What will the experience be for parents when they arrive?
Well, we would like to think that it will be one of the most exceptional experiences to deliver a baby in the country. There will be plenty of space to celebrate with families, with grandparents, with siblings. There'll be an outdoor space if you need to get away. If your baby happens to need the neonatal intensive care unit, you will not be separated from your baby. If there's a long stay that's needed, you will be able to stay with your baby, sleep with your baby, be as close as possible, and only receive the care that you need. We don't want to keep patients in the hospital longer than they need to be. We're really working to get families home as soon as possible. But this is a brand new building with incredible light, incredible spaces. And if there ever is a time of stress of delivering a baby or having a baby that has to stay after birth, we want that stress to be as minimal as possible. I think it's also important to recognize that our care goes well beyond the building. The building is bricks and mortar, but it's really our care processes inside that are equally or more important. And we are always striving to provide the best patient experience, the best patient outcomes, and the best value for everybody that's delivering a baby. And I think the new building is great. The new building is wonderful. But we all know if we fall down on that care, people aren't going to want to come and deliver here. So the care has to be safe. The experience has to be great. And we are constantly working to improve that and refine that.
Well, talk a little bit then about your women's health programming. What is beyond the brick and mortar?
Sure. We have a full line of maternal child health services here and maternal services. So if you need a high risk obstetrical services, we have great maternal fetal medicine services here. Some of the best in the country. We have one of the only what we call Christiana Center for Women's Emotional Wellness here, which is a program centered specifically at women who may have postpartum depression or other mental health issues in the postpartum period. We're one of the only centers in the country that has that. We have full lactation support. We have neonatal intensive care unit supports. We have things like alternative ways to keep you comfortable during labor, something called nitrous oxide, which is laughing gas, which is a anesthesia that you may get, for instance, in the dental offices. But that's something that we have done in the past to control pain and maybe avoid epidural anesthesia for those families who want that. Now, that is something else that's been on hold due to COVID because that's an inhaled gas and there's some risks there. But we'll get back to that as soon as the pandemic is over. So we have some of the most innovative and unique services in the Delaware Valley, certainly in Delaware, and it goes beyond just simply coming in and delivering a baby.
And of course, when you're talking about innovation, your couplet design, it does sound like that would be a huge draw. And what does make that so special?
Yeah, we are really excited about the ability to provide couplet care in the Center for Women and Children's Health. And as I believe I mentioned before, we are one of the first hospitals in the country to be able to provide that. There are a few others where it's evolving. So we're not the first, but certainly on the leading edge. And that's a model of care that was first developed in Europe. It's becoming more common in Europe. It's becoming more common in Canada. And I think if you look in the future, probably there'll be a lot of hospitals in the United States that do that as well. Couplet care really involves not separating mothers and babies. And we recognize that if you have a baby in the neonatal intensive care unit, it's at baseline incredibly stressful. One of the most stressful parts about that is just the need to separate mother from baby. And in almost every hospital in this country, a mother is going to be in a separate room from the baby. But our couplet suites allow mother and babies to stay together and bond after birth, see the baby. We think that it will enhance breastfeeding and the ability for that mom to give breast milk to the baby. Very preterm babies can't breastfeed, meaning they can be fed breast milk, but they can't just go to the breast and feed if they're generally less than 34 weeks at birth. So mother and baby will be close. Mother won't have to come up and down the hall or up and down the stairs with breast milk or to feed the baby. They'll be able to see the babies at all times. There is a separation where a door can close, a sliding door, if that mother needs rest. And the idea of that is to improve the health of the baby, improve the health of the mother, and really improve bonding, and overall to decrease stress.
Stress
and
for the
so it's something that we will be able to provide here. it's something that we would welcome families to come here for that reason. And it's something that cannot be provided anywhere else in the region and very few places in the country.
So it reduces the stress for mom and for baby. But does that mean that, that mom or dad has more touch on the baby in a couplet situation?
We welcome touching and holding babies as soon as possible. And so even in our old neonatal intensive care unit, we did our best to have mother and dad hold the baby as soon as feasible. And sometimes these are really sick small babies, but we have found ways, and we've published on this, ways to allow mothers to hold the baby, even if that baby may be on a ventilator or have special IVs in place, that they could hold that baby as soon as possible. So this will enhance that. This will break down those barriers. This will mean that a mother won't have to come down three floors to hold her baby, that a dad won't have to do that, that she or he or that family, that support person, whoever is in the room with the birth mother, will be able to touch that baby when they want to, however often they want to, and really will break down the barriers to that type of care, yes.
So we have a brand new facility, the Center for Women's and Children's Health, 8 stories, 400,000 square feet at the hospital there. Your parting words, let's give you the 2-minute warning here. You want to, dealer's choice, what would you like to say?
Sure. Well, you may ask why we called it the Center for Women and Children's Health. And I think health is a really important word. And one of the things and ideas we came up with when we were developing the center is this is where parents are born. And what that recognizes is that the health of the baby is important for the health throughout the life course. And you just don't become a healthy adult. You're a healthy adult if you're a healthy child, and you're a healthy child if you're a healthy baby. And we want to keep mothers and we want to keep babies healthy throughout their life course. You mentioned earlier in the interview some of the adverse maternal child health outcomes in Delaware. That's something that we are, many people at Christiana and throughout the state are working on. But we need to keep people healthy throughout their life. And when a baby is born, we want them to be healthy so that they're a healthy adult and they decrease the risk of having a preterm baby or having health problems. And so health starts at birth. Breastfeeding is a great example. Bonding that you mentioned is a great example. There's so many things we can do in a baby and an infant's early years to keep them healthy. And this is where it starts. And that's why we designed the building. That's why we built the building. That's how we designed the building, I should say. And we just want families to recognize that health starts at birth.
And of course, for more information about Christiana Care and for the Center for Women's and Children's Health, you go to christianacare.org. Real easy, one word, christianacare.org. And my guest today is the chair of the Department of Pediatrics for Christiana Care. He is a pediatrician and neonatologist. David Paul, thank you for calling in today. I can't get used to this.
You're welcome. It felt like I was there, but we're...
I know. Well, Zoom has been amazing, but I can't wait for the next time, and you'll be sitting across from me when we talk. But Dr. David Paul, my guest today, and again, for more information about the Center for Women's and Children's Health at Christiana Care, christianacare.org. Thank you, Dr. Paul.
You're welcome. Thank you. I enjoyed it.
I'm Laura Lewis. This has been Philadelphia Focus.